Chapter 3. Pattern. For some time after my conversation, I used to wonder why God had not saved me earlier, and why He allowed me to waste 5 years studying engineering. Now, I know all that He has done has been with a purpose. During the first year of my study, we spent much time learning how to draw plans of buildings and machinery. We have to do this very carefully with many calculations and much foresight. One small mistake could bring much loss in a large construction project. God's heavenly plan is given in the Bible, and we have to adhere to His plan in implicit obedience. If we are not able to understand any part of the plan, we must wait patiently, and the Lord will make it clear to us. God spoke to Moses and said, "Look that thou make them after the pattern which was showed thee on the mount." Exodus 25:40. These words were brought forcibly to us again and again, as we spent several weeks studying the tabernacle. Moses was a servant of God and a mighty prophet, but even he could not make any alteration in the plan that God had given him. We resolved that, if necessary, we should spend days, weeks, months or years in prayer till we could see God's plan clearly about any matter upon our hearts. Now we have learned by experience that when you follow God's plan, it does not matter how small the beginning is, for the end will be fruitful. As soon as the new work began in Jehovah Shammah, as we called the new house we had occupied, we had to face extreme opposition. We were few in number, and people all over the province, state, rose up against us. All the pastors, preachers and missionaries got together against us. Then the Lord gave us His word in James 4:6. He gives more grace. As the days passed, the opposition increased. But our Lord gave us more grace, and the opposition only gave us greater opportunity to claim God's grace. If we allow the Lord to guide us, we will find our ministry always fruitful. I will give you an example. After much prayer, we felt led by the Lord to go to South India on gospel raids. During the third week of our gospel raid, we found ourselves overtaken by the rainy season. There were about 67 in the party in a place called Christian Pet. One morning as I was praying, I heard a voice saying, "Go to Sivakasi." I had never been to that place, nor did I know where it was. But I told my fellow workers what the Lord had spoken to me. They replied it was one of the most difficult places in South India. The people there would never allow Christians to preach. In those days, Brother G. Deva Sahayam, who is now one of the elders at Madras, was a sub-registrar in Watrap near Christian Pet. I thought that because of his position he would have influence in that place and would be able to get a house for our stay in Sivakasi. So, we sent him. He returned and said that he had tried all over the town, and everyone had refused to give even a single room for us to stay. We prayed again and again, and still the Lord told us that we had to go to Sivakasi. That morning, I had been reading from Mark 14 verses 13 to 15. Thus, I believed that the Lord had prepared a room for us. We decided to leave behind at Christian Pet all the sisters in the party. So, taking the brothers with me, I proceeded to Sivakasi by bus. Reaching our destination, we alighted from the bus. I saw before me a building with a sign, Housing Corporation, and guessing that there I might get some help, I entered it. In the office was a man with very long hair. I asked him, "Can you show me a new or an old house where we can stay for a few days on rent?" He said, "Yes," and continued, "I have a Christian friend in Sathur, and he wrote to me a few days ago that if you and your party came to Sivakasi, I should find a place for you. We have not told anyone about plans to go to Sivakasi, and we had decided to do so quite suddenly. So, it was really a surprise to me that someone had written to get a house for us." He took us with him to show us a house which was available. As we walked, I said, "Lord, you said that there would be a man carrying a pitcher of water. Where is he?" As we walked, very soon we actually saw such a man walking in front of us, until we came to the house. Then I said to myself, "How about the upper room furnished?" And sure enough, when we went upstairs, we found a room with furniture. We knelt down and thanked the Lord, then we sent for the sisters also. After a while, we began open-air preaching. From the very first step, we had violent opposition. A huge crowd gathered and began to throw stones and mud at us. We went round the town singing Psalm 150. The crowd followed us round for 2 hours throwing mud, stones and cow dung at us. When we returned to the house, we were given a message that another house, which also had an upper room, was vacant and we were welcome to stay there. This house belonged to Christians. We shifted into it. After a while, I received a message that a Hindu lady wanted to see me. She said, "I have come to apologize because of our men who have been so rude to you. Although they do not want to hear the gospel, we women in our town like me are hungry to receive God's word. If you will give me permission, I will go and bring them to meet you." She went away and brought about 150 women. We had a meeting for them. It was a wonderful experience which we can never forget. It was after much prayer that we had felt led to go to Sivakasi, and although we had such violent opposition, we could also see how the Lord had already prepared to work on our behalf. Then followed further evidence of His leading. Till then we had no thought of stopping at Madurai, another large South Indian town. In our party there was a believing sister whose husband was a lawyer in Madurai, and even though his wife was in the party, he refused to come and meet her because he did not want to meet us. It so happened that we decided to divide our party into two. One to stay behind at Sivakasi, and the other to go to Sattur. While I was there, the Lord spoke to me that we should go to Madurai even though we had no knowledge yet of any place there where we could stay. But we trusted Him to open up the way. At about this time, the Christian lawyer had to go to Sivakasi for a court case, and he took a Muslim advocate along with him. On reaching Sivakasi, they went to a house which they thought would be vacant. They did not know that we had just taken exactly the same house. When they walked unsuspecting into the porch, they found our party engaged in a prayer meeting. In the party there were two Muslim converts, and one of them was praying in Urdu, at the moment the advocate and his Muslim friend entered. When he heard her praying, the Muslim advocate began trembling all over and said, "God is here." This made such an impression upon the Christian advocate that he left a message with the party, "You must all come to Madurai." This news was conveyed to me, and I sent back a message asking the party at Sivakasi to go on to Madurai, promising to join them on the way at Virudunagar. When we reached Madurai, we found the ground really prepared, and the Lord gave us a wonderful and fruitful time. We visited altogether 33 towns in that campaign, and the Lord led us according to His heavenly plan during the whole time. The point is that if we come together as a church, we can find out God's plan for every detail of the ministry before us. We must discern His mind for each stage of the work. Then we will find that the Lord will fulfill His promise. "Behold, I will do marvels." Mountains of impossibilities will flow down at God's presence when the enemy comes in like a flood, or a ravening wolf, or a roaring lion, or an angel of light. We will find His grace sufficient. We will see increasing and abiding fruit for our labors, and be carried along in the river of His triumphant purpose and plan.